Then we need to seal his entire complex.
If we live long enough to get to the door...
Oh, we'll live that long. No problem. I've got to have a long talk with our prissy friend back at the fortress before I can take time enough to die.
JB's threat was proven to be true. There were a few more sporadic attacks from random chupacabras, but now all in the group were prepared to deal with the creatures and their methods of murder. Soto used his rusty revolver to take down one, while Jorge's long blast was good for two more. At one point, Soto looked incredibly sad.
I find it hard to believe my people spent so much time frightened of these creatures.
At the exit back into the cavern, JB took the last of the four grants and set the time for 30 seconds, tossing it inside as Ryan reversed the code and brought the massive vanadium steel door sliding down. Outside, the sun had come up. Ryan sat at the wheel of the Jeep and turned the ignition key.
Now, we settle accounts with Johnny Vu.
The trip back to Old San Juan was speedy and uneventful, except for the discovery that the injuries inflicted upon Soto's foot were worse than he'd let on. He apologized profusely for being unable to accompany the others to El Moro, but Ryan would hear none of it and insisted Jorge stay with his friend.
There's enough of us here to take care of business.
When the group of companions reached the imposing fortress, all was quiet inside. No table had been set for breakfast, and other than the cook and her daughter, no Sekmen, or for that matter, no Doc Tanner or Mildred Wyeth or Silas Jamais Vu were to be found.
Gateway.
They nodded and traced their steps back along the path taken mere days before when Jamais Vu had led them up into the living quarters of the fortress.
Hold, Cador!
The barrel-chested set guard stood firm at the open hallway leading to the inner bowels of the fortress, where Jamais Vu had installed his modified gateway and temporal laboratories. The hefty Tech 10 blaster was held ready, a silent deterrent backing up its master. There was nowhere to duck for safe cover in the hall, a tidy piece of extra security that the guard seemed well aware of from his position.
Hold up. I don't think we're welcome.
Where's Luis?
He ate something that didn't agree with him.
Que?
Forget it.
Where is the rest of your merry band of chupacabras hunters?
They're back at home with their families, glad to be alive and proud to have accomplished something to help their people, instead of cowering up here in this fortress.
You're all scared. Too frightened to come over here to El Morro. Frightened that chupacabras is going to come hopping out of that rat hole and bite them on the ass.
So you say, but I didn't see you volunteering to go tramping around in El Yunque either.
I was not assigned. My duties were here.
Sure, much easier to let someone else take the risks, isn't it?
You watch your mouth, boy, or I'll...
You'll what? Which one of the matching set are you, anyway?
Lopez. My brother is busy. You have no right to be here. Unless you want to take this beyond words, I suggest you back up. Now.
Step aside, Lopez. I've got business with your boss.
Dollar Jamais Vu left strict orders not to be disturbed.
Your precious doctor has been playing you and your people for fools. We just got back from ground zero for chupacabras.
Hell, chupacabras don't exist. All tales told to children to frighten them into bed.
Ryan jerked up his bandaged hand to the fresh scabbing on his face.
I didn't get these cuts shaving, Lopez. Nor did any of the rest of us. Every scab and bruise you see on us came from one of those muty sons of bitches. And your master, the mighty Dr. Silas Jamais Vu, is the one responsible for unleashing them on San Juan.
You lie. How is this possible?
I'm not saying he did it on purpose. Maybe he screwed up somehow when he came to San Juan and took over this fortress. But I do know he's the one behind the Chupacabra's problem, and I want to discuss it with him. Now.
I have been as polite to you as possible. I think words are not going to convince you, Carter.
On that note of menace, Lopez glanced over to the corner behind the group, where the second of the twin sec men, Garcia, appeared, his matching Tech 10 leveled and ready. Ryan kept his cool on the surface. Things were going south triple fast, and every second they spent in pointless debate with Jamais Vu's watchdogs was a second more that could spell disaster for Doc and Mildred, neither of whom had been found in the upper levels of the living areas of the fortress. Caught in the makings of a crossfire, Ryan had no choice. Trusting his comrades in arms to match his movements, he pulled the Sig Sauer in a practiced fast draw the most hardened of the mythical old Western gunslingers would have been envious of, and squeezed the trigger. Lopez never even had a chance to use his rifle as the slug from the Sig Sauer punched through his forehead, lifting the red headband from his hair, along with a bloody chunk of his bony scalp. Even as Ryan was taking the most direct method of reasoning with the Sekhmen blocking their path, JB was following through on his own end with the Uzi, lifting the half-hidden machine pistol from under his jacket and sending a string of steel-jacketed bullets in a wavy pattern across the midsection of the backup Sekhmen. Two of the slugs struck true into the Sekhmen's muscled torso. The firefight was over in a handful of seconds. Ryan stood calmly, not looking back to see the status of those behind him, but keeping his eye on the fallen Sekhmen in front of him.
Everybody okay?
Stepping forward lightly, Ryan nudged Lopez with his toe, but it was obvious that the Sekhmen wouldn't be moving ever again. On the other end, Garcia took a few more seconds to die, but no parting words of defiance came from his lips. A spreading pool of red was on his chest and pouring out from his back. Ryan held onto the Sig Sauer, having reloaded the clip outside El Moro.
This is getting bloodier by the bastard minute. I want to find Doc and Mildred and get the hell out of this place in one piece.
I agree, lover. Seems sunny Puerto Rico has lost all of its appeal.
What was that noise? Jamais-Vu paused and sealed the gateway and comps behind him with unbreakable vanadium steel.
What noise?
Gunshots. I heard gunshots.
Jamais-Vu was moving now and gestured with the barrel of his weapon for her to step ahead of him. He kept the heavy target pistol leveled at Mildred's head, the pleated braids of her hair clacking gently against the barrel of the blaster every time she took a breath. His right hand was now handcuffed to her left, and he used the handgun with the ease of the ambidextrous as he moved her along.
Going somewhere, Silas?
The man in the long white coat jerked Mildred closer, startled by the sound of Ryan's voice.
Cotter! Back from chasing chupacabras?
Yeah.
Ryan stepped forward, backed by JB and Jack. Christy and Dean hovered as closely as they could, their weapons also ready if Ryan gave the word.
Your muty buddies back at the redoubts and their regards.
How nice. You'll have to thank them for me.
You okay, Millie?
Can't complain. But some asshole stole my pistol.
Borrowed, Dr. Wyeth. Borrowed.
Jamais-Vu tucked her arm back harshly, making her wince, much to the chagrin of the armorer.
Where's Doc?
Mildred started to answer, but Jamais-Vu jammed the muzzle of the target pistol against her skull, which silenced her, but drew forth a dangerous, almost imperceptible growl of anger from JB.
I honestly don't know. Quite a span of years for him to choose from, actually. I sent him forward, and I sent him back, and back again, and forward, with this being the final stop. He should be arriving inside the chamber any moment now, but I imagine after 4 cron jumps he's not going to be feeling all that peppy, so I wouldn't count on an assist from the good Dr. Tanner anytime soon. I was about to take Dr. Wyeth in search of some medical supplies, just in case he does make the trip in one coherent piece.
Oh yeah, right. You're a real concerned guy, Silas.
Ryan's blue eye was alert and watching, waiting to find a chink in the mad doctor's armor so he could take him out without hurting Mildred.
Thanks, I'm sure. Hey, I make the effort. I want to be acknowledged, okay?
As what? An asshole?
Shut your mouth or I'll shut it for you.
The ball's in your court, Silas. Think about what you want to do here. Make the wrong move, and we'll chill you so fast you'll be dead before hitting the floor.
Oh, I wouldn't want that, Calder. Not when I'm so close. So in old world vernacular, what say we play Let's Make a Deal?
I don't negotiate with crazy sons of bitches like you, Silas. I always come out on the short end of the stick.
Who's negotiating, Calder? Mildred lives, I live, we all live. Hell of a deal, I think. And best of all, we get to posture and preen and fight another day.
As he spoke, Jamais-Vu was slowly working his way backward to the heavy steel door leading to the Matran's gateway and control room.
I've been working toward an agenda for the last 2 years, and your arrival only accelerated my plans. In fact, your timing was perfect.
What are you talking about?
He lied, Ryan. He was never placed in cryo-suspension. He's a time traveler, just like Michael Brother and Doc.
Guilty as charged, Cotter. And like your precious Doc Tanner, I want to go back home. But unlike him, I have the means and the wherewithal to carry through with the plan.
His back now up against the door, Jamais-Vu reached behind with a handcuff to Mildred's and keyed the entry buttons. And in reply, the door slid upward into the ceiling. Backing into the doorway of the room, he shoved Mildred forward and hit the lever that brought the door slamming back down. The same door cut the chain linking the manacles, expediently freeing Mildred and Jamais-Vu from each other without the worry of using the key. The armorer was at his lover's side in an instant, his usual poker face animated with concern.
You okay, Millie?
Fine. But I'll have to get held hostage more often. It actually seems to have gotten a rise out of you.
Have to admit one thing, lover.
What's that?
Jamais-Vu does have style.
Fuck him and his style.
Ryan glared at the reinforced metal door leading into the control chamber for the Matran's Kron unit. Despite his glowering, the door remained shut. Ryan had heard the sound of an auto lock being thrown from the other side.